From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where last year's racial reckoning following the death of George Floyd got many people thinking about how they can create spaces for Black people to feel seen. One of those spaces is House of Body. That's B-A-W-D-Y, House of Body. It's an online sex store based in New Hampshire, and it was created by a Black woman as a space for self-acceptance and well-being. WBUR's Quincy Walters talked to the store's owner recently and joins us now. Hey there, Quincy.
Hey, Paris.
So, Quincy, I gotta say, every time I think about the story, I keep replaying that Body Adi song by Megan Thee Stallion.
Well, you wouldn't be too far off base because the website does have a playlist of songs that sort of served as inspiration for, you know, this endeavor. And they call it a playlist of twerking anthems and baby-making music. And I definitely think Meg Thee Stallion can easily fit into that category.
Yeah, that all sounds really sexy, doesn't it? But House of Body is so much more than a sex shop, isn't it?
Yeah. So last year, when, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement was sort of reaching an apex, Catherine Sabir Beach, who identifies as a sexually fluid Muslim woman who happens to be queer, was sort of wondering how she could rise to this occasion. And so for the past several years, she's been working in adult novelty stores, and that's sort of where her expertise is. And she also saw that there was a need for a space like an adult novelty store, but also a resource for sexual health and sex positivity for Black folks that sort of didn't exist. And this was sort of her way of addressing that.
And there was a lot of hurt and trauma following George Floyd's death this summer and everything that ensued after that. But there was also this emphasis on Black joy, Black resilience, and in this case, it sounds like Black pleasure. How does this store embody that?
Yeah, so, you know, the people that I spoke to felt that the sort of media is very fixated on Black death and Black suffering, and they sort of saw or see this store as an opportunity, as a vehicle to sort of express, you know, Black joy and Black pleasure. And also, Catherine Sabir Beach, the owner of the store, wanted this to be sort of an oasis for people. She wanted it to sort of be home, or, and, you know, it, we see the word house in the title, and house alludes to queer ball and drag culture from the 20th century, where people would compete and sort of find their, you know, home or their, you know, adoptive home. And this is sort of, you know, acknowledging sort of the ancestors that, you know, paved the way for this. But also, you know, with the protests, you know, we saw these incantations for, you know, valuing Black life, but you wanted this to be a place where people wouldn't have to, you know, fight or protest for that sense of peace.
I wanted to make a space where Black folks and queer people and people of marginalized genders weren't just included. Like, I wanted us to exist because of us, not just including us.
And so a Maryland-based Black sexologist named Desiree Robinson says she's really excited about House of Body because she now has a resource where she can point her clients toward. But also, she says at its core, House of Body is meeting a very innate human need.
Most things come down to this basic principle that the key motivator to human behavior is the need to belong. We all need to belong someplace. And so whether that is our families, our social groups, our jobs, even someplace like a sex store.
And one of the customers is Kelly Tiller, who by day is an attorney. She identifies as queer, masculine of center. And she saw a call for models on social media for House of Body. And she's not a model, but it sort of awakened in her something that she felt she wanted to try.
Being on a health journey myself and really feeling comfortable in my skin, being able to show my body and showcasing that, it really just felt like such a natural experience.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And Quincy, because you always have such good stories from behind the scenes of your reporting, I have to ask, are there any gems from this one?
Well, you're too kind, Paris. But I think one of the most interesting aspects of this story is that, you know, when I pitched it, there was some concern about, you know, how can we talk about sex on the radio? That might be really hard. But, you know, as the sexologist said earlier, you know, this really is a story about, you know, belonging. And there's nothing really sort of risque about that. And so the real challenge actually came to, you know, finding pictures to use for our web story, which you should check out, and finding sort of G-rated pictures from a sex store website. And that was the real challenge. But I think, you know, framing it as, you know, this being more than a sex store, but as a space, sort of made, you know, overcoming that challenge of, can we tell this on the radio? It made that almost a non-issue.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Quincy. And frankly, I'd like to think that public radio is sexy, too.
I'm not going to argue there, but I'm sure people might have strong feelings about that.
I'm sure. Well, thanks so much for your reporting, Quincy. Have a great weekend.
Anytime. And you too, Paris.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. The investigation into allegations of domestic abuse against Police Commissioner Dennis White is underway. Acting Mayor Kim Janey says she expects things to wrap up by the end of April. White was appointed 2 months ago, only to be placed on leave soon after.
These allegations are from way back. They are very serious allegations. I do believe people should have the opportunity to move on from things when they happen like this. When you take responsibility, you can move on.
White is accused of pushing his former wife and threatening to shoot her. As we've reported previously on the podcast, his daughter insists the allegations are false. Meanwhile, up in the Merrimack Valley, the owner of a pot shop in Haverhill is suing the city over fees charged as part of her operation contract. This is known as a host community agreement, and as part of that agreement, marijuana stores are required to help cover costs for increased municipal services in exchange for the right to do business in town. But Caroline Pinot, owner of STEM Haverhill, says the city's been blowing smoke about where the funds have gone.
I don't think it's unreasonable to request that the city comply with the law if it's seeking additional money through impact fees. Accountability works both ways, and they need to follow the law.
Pinot is asking a court to dismiss the $400,000 in fees she owes Haverhill. In a statement, a spokesperson for Haverhill's mayor says STEM needs to honor the stipulations in its host community agreement. And now for a Friday Hail Mary. UMass is heading to the NCAA Men's Hockey Championship after scoring the winning shot in overtime last night. That championship game is geared up for tomorrow night. You know what else you have to look forward to? Tomorrow's weather. In Greater Boston, we're supposed to hit the 70s. Yes, honey, grab those sunnies and that mask because spring is here. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since April showers and May flowers, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Ugh, it's been such a hard year, y'all. But the universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Dear Sugars is hosted by Cheryl Strayed and Steve Allman, who field all your questions, no matter how deep or dark, and offer radical empathy in return. Check out Dear Sugars wherever you get your podcasts.